Chicago's very own WGN.
It's 7:42. Social media is a big place to navigate, and with us to help make it seem much more manageable, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, morning. Feels overwhelming because we tend to look at it as this ever-growing place to navigate, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Bob, in many ways it is, but, you know, in many ways it's not. You don't have to use all the features, and I think that's where people get caught up. You can use what makes sense to you, and you can stick with that. And you can always wade into the pool of something else and step right back out if that's not the right fit for you, because maybe it'll be a fit later. I always say, like so many other things in life, sometimes it's all about taking that first step.
Okay, so in the spirit of thinking smaller and more personal, you are going to give us some practical examples of what that might look like in everyday practice.
Yes, yes, I am. And I'm going to start with one of my favorites, which is social media blog posts. So these, you know, you read these online all the time, and they're written for a reason. They're written to give people, useful information. And sometimes they're written just right and deserve a place in your bookmark list because they're spot on if you want to go back. Sometimes they're way too generic, and this can throw off the balance. So in this social media blog post world that I'm talking about, there are a lot of them, and you've seen these. They say the absolute best time to post on social media is this time of day and this day of the week. And they sound like they know the optimal time to engage your audience. And even the social media platforms themselves, they release this kind of data too. I totally agree that these posts are going to help someone find the perfect time to post, absolutely. But that someone isn't necessarily you. So what I'm saying is, could a suggestion in a blog post that says to post at 4 p.m. on Wednesday turn out to be the perfect time to post? Absolutely could. But I think that's mostly possible, because it's less about when the general public uses the platform and more about when your followers are using it and your has to be stressed. That's what you should spend time figuring out.
So how does someone do that? How does someone become less dependent on those blogs and more aware of their own audience and their needs?
Very, very good question. And I'm happy to say that a lot of the social media platforms have actually been doing a better job helping people figure that out, because the information is there. It's just that not everyone looks at it. So, I mean, for me, I'm the kind of person who can get lost in data like that. Now, Twitter, they're more about the tweet, how the tweet is doing, the engagements, more than, say, the time of the day or the week that you should send something. But Facebook will tell you that stuff. Facebook pages, especially Facebook groups. So when I see data suggesting that I post a certain time of day on Facebook, I'll use that. And then if that data changes and they come to me and they say, well, you know, this has shifted a little bit and a different time is warranted, then I consider that as well.
Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg with us talking about social media, making it more personal. Scott, you have an interesting take on making sure you're measuring social media success the way you want to measure it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. So if you're a business owner and use social media, I'm sure you've heard of the term KPI. KPI stands for Key Performance Indicator. It's this measurable value that demonstrates how you're achieving your key objectives. But the key thing to know about this is that one person's KPI is not the same as another. So here's an example. If growing your social media following is the most important thing for you, then your KPIs are probably things like, you know, number of followers, engagement of followers, reach of followers, the number of comments that someone leaves. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But maybe your KPI is more detailed. Maybe you want to sell tickets to a virtual event. In that case, your KPI could be the number of people you get to buy a ticket through your Facebook page.
So this really comes back to what you were saying before about the blog post on what time to post. That is likely to vary, and just as your KPI is likely to vary.
Exactly. Whether it's for business or for pleasure, it's you and you alone that gets to decide what KPIs you want to measure and what's most important for you. There's plenty of people out there that'll be happy to tell you what your KPI should be, what they think it should be. And it's the should that I take issue with. It's could, not should. Yes, your KPI could always be this, but should it be this? That's the distinction. And that overall depends on your goal. And what I just said there, that's almost the answer to a question that I get an awful lot, which is, how do I know my social media is working? And honestly, Bob, that's how you know. If you set up 5 KPIs and you succeed at 4 or 5, then you're doing great work. If you're succeeding at 1 or 2, you got some of it right, and that's good. But if nothing on your list moves the needle, then you need to think about that and you need a reset.
So it's like a checklist, as long as you don't lose sight of the checklist.
Exactly. I mean, check something off the list when it makes the most sense for your goals, not someone else. That's the whole point. You can have different KPIs operating at once, too. If your goal is to gain 50 new Instagram followers a month, that's great. You can work on that in tandem with something else, and then you measure the success and adjust where it's necessary.
Before I let you go this morning, Scott, explain Facebook's new feature, something called Bulletin. What's that all about?
Facebook is joining the group of social media platforms that are going to offer newsletters. So it's going to be this new way for people to engage with people on their platform. Twitter's doing one because they purchased another newsletter company, and Facebook's doing their own. And the thought process behind it is, if you have interesting things to say to the people who follow your page or the people who follow your group, this is a more premium way of doing it. Now, with Facebook's model, there's nothing that says there's ever going to be any payment involved. Twitter, as you know, we've talked about, they're doing this super Twitter, and they're doing this thing at $2.99 a month, and someday that may include actual newsletters. But in this case, Facebook is just trying to get that whole concept out there of communicating with people in a different way, not a new way, because we've been using newsletters for a long time, but we haven't seen them actually part of the Facebook platform. So it's going to be interesting.
Now, I've heard of Substack. Is this the same thing?
It's very, very similar to something like Substack. Yeah, people are going to pick a platform, and it's a lot like they do with their devices and their social media platforms. They're going to pick a platform, and they're going to do something with that. So, yeah, there are a lot of people now, a lot of journalists using Substack, and it'll be very, very interesting to see what Facebook does. Facebook always uses its scale as a way to approach these things. They have so many users, it shouldn't take long for them to really make an impact. So we'll see how that works out.
All right. Now let's get to my problem for the Genius Bar. I'm recently looking for an old email, and you know how you go in the window there and search the name and try to call up an old email you may be looking for. I was doing that on my laptop and couldn't locate this email that I knew I had somewhere, but then I searched on my iPhone and it came up. How come it was there on my iPhone but not on my laptop?
That is an interesting question. That sounds like a synchronization issue if it's not on one device and it's on the other. Do you know, is this like a Gmail or like one of those, or was it just something in your regular inbox?
I think it may have been something in my regular inbox. It could have been, I mean, I have AOL and Gmail. It may have been AOL. I don't know.
The reason why I'm asking is because the different platforms synchronize differently. So if you told me it was Gmail, I would say reboot your devices, and it's something like that, because what's on Gmail should always mirror what's on Gmail on your laptop and on your phone. But something else, it is very possible, you know, that you delete it from one device and it remains on the other device, which is why you found it on one and not found it on the other. So I don't know that there's an actual answer to that question, other than you shouldn't see something like that happen with Gmail, but you may see it happen with other types of email that you use.
Yeah, maybe I did delete it on one. That's a good point. You're a genius, Scott. Thank you very much. It's social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Have a good day.
You too, Bob. Thank you.